All right, praise God. So, first of all, what we learned last week about the man of sin, and the reason why we're doing this study, of course, is because it's a topic that comes up almost every year, and especially these last few years with the whole pandemic thing, and people have called many people it. I think some presidents have been called it more than others. Reagan and Obama was, I think, the two that were called it the most. Popes, many of the popes, especially Pope John Paul, was called the man of sin. Unfortunately, Nero was called the man of sin. And you have some people that say Revelation's already happened and it's all said and done. There are some things people have done when man gets in the way and not just takes what the Bible says. You get a lot of what we call scholars that have added their own whatever to God's word and really distorted it. So what we're doing is we're just taking a walk through what the word says about the man of sin, and we'll kind of discuss what some may say about it, and then we'll leave it at that. So hopefully it can give you some understanding of what this man represents and what this man does. What we've learned so far is we have been warned that false Christ will come and deceive many. God has told us this throughout his word. Jesus let us know when he will really be when he will really return. In fact, he said, everybody's going to see it. It's not going to be some secret that somebody has to come tell you and say, hey, he's over in Texas and you have to drive down there and he's going to be behind this room. Anybody does that. People still get fooled this day, today with that. Excuse me. Due to people, once again, not living by the word. We allow other people to mislead us by their talks and stuff. It is our responsibility to test the spirits. We're supposed to test them continually. In fact, we're told not to believe every spirit. There's going to be two things that are going to happen before we're gathered to Jesus. It's supposed to be the rebellion of the church, which is hard to see today because the church is so scattered, so siloed, and has so many other beliefs other than the Bible. Some people may even call this the time of the rebellion. But the other thing is the revealing of this man of sin. He goes by other names, man of lawlessness, as we've seen, and we started last week, Little Horn. We're going to talk about some other names, hopefully, today. The work of the man of sin is being done now. In other words, stuff that he's really going to expand on has been happening for ages, even during this time when this book started. He's saying, however, the actual man of sin is being held back by someone. Many say it's the Holy Spirit. Others say it's somebody else. But either which way, he's being held back by someone. So Daniel then starts by describing four kingdoms. Okay, so we had to go back in the book of Daniel, and Daniel started talking about the four kingdoms. Now, if you read about the statues, Daniel basically tells who these are. You know, we start with Babylon, then Medes and Persians, and then we go into the Greek Empire, and then we go into Rome, and then we have the final kingdom of Jesus that returns. But when you get to this animal, many and most believe that's just a repeat of what that statue was saying. But others say, and we saw a verse in Daniel 7, which basically said, when the beast is basically the beast, and we're going to learn this still later, the beast, and there's a second beast that comes called the false prophet, when they're actually thrown into hell, the other cities get to last for a little while longer. The problem is, the ones I just named to you, most of them are gone except for Rome. You know what I mean? I mean, as the bigger countries, they're gone. So some people then made it that the newer countries that it's talking about on the animals was Britain, was US, was Russia, was Germany, was France. That's not widely accepted, but that's just what's said out there. But we just know that the last beast is dreadful, as they put it. Many say it's going to be Rome and components of Rome. And when we see this animal, it has components of all those other four kingdoms, the bad parts of them, if you will. And we just know this last kingdom is going to be very bad. Now, this is one reason why you hear a lot of terms like nationalism used, because people think it's going to be a world government. We'll talk about that, but that's not necessarily so. So then we hear of the final kingdom is going to have this thing called Little Horn. And he's going to do something spectacular in which he supposedly is killed or something happens to him, and then he comes back. Okay, but it continues on and says he's going to be a different king than other ones. There are some references to him being gay, maybe. There is some things about his worship in which he's supposedly a Gentile, but he doesn't even worship the people that his people worship. He kind of worships himself, and he uses things to really show himself. He puts himself up there, in there. But the big thing we have to understand before we get right back into the study is there's some characteristics of the man of sin I want you to be aware of, because this is very important. The king will do as he pleases. So, which we see now in most arrogant, most narcissists, and most psychopaths, but he will exalt and magnify himself above every god. The problem is when we worship people, or when we allow people to talk us into it, we start believing it. We see that same nonsense today. When somebody really hypes themselves up, we start taking their hype. He will say unheard of things against the God of gods, which is God, of course, the Almighty God. But the thing about it is people are allowing it because we've already watered down and destroyed God as it is. And we haven't really stayed firm in the faith. Here's the biggest part. He will be successful in all he does until wrath comes. Now, there are some people, sometimes we'll look at people, we'll measure their godliness based on our definition of godliness. We'll say things that impress us that we think is godly. And when you see the success, you have a lot of people that are going to be misled due to this man's success. I mean, his success is going to be outrageous, how things are going to fall into place and how his decision making is and all of that. And people are going to be like, wow, that must be a man of God. Look how everything just falls for him. And we'll say things that make no sense. And this is why it's so important. Our guidance and our vision and everything we make a decision on has to be fully based on God. Because by sight, it is going to be very deceptive, especially that last part. So please be careful, because I still hear Christians do that today. Sometimes the way they'll call somebody godly or they'll compliment somebody, they'll do it in such a way with stuff that the Bible didn't say. So the question will come up, how is that godly? Explain how that describes them as being godly. You know what I mean? And that's your definition. And usually it's distorted and it's warped. So we got to be careful that that's not the things that we are using for that. All right. So now continuing on, and I think what I remember, we're in Daniel 11, and we got more. I'm sorry. We're at the part where it says the power of the man of sin is Satan. Am I correct? If I'm wrong, let me know. I think we're right. I'm going to open up my notes to be on the safe side. Okay. So, yeah, the power of the man of sin is Satan. That's going to be his power. He will affect those who choose not to believe. Look what it says in 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 to 12. It says, the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders. Now, the problem, once again, if I don't know sound doctrine, I'll get confused on if something's godly or if it's not. You hear Christians right now who don't know if something's godly or if it's not, because we're not fully being led by the word. Sometimes we're being led by somebody who tells us stuff. And that's why it says the work of Satan displayed in. Now, remember, we talked about worldliness and how the world works and loving the world. You see people with that. That's a work of Satan. You see a lot of things, lying and deception, stuff like a work of Satan. It's going to come where it's going to follow the pattern of Satan and not follow the pattern of God. But he's going to be allowed to do magic, if you will. That's why it's called counterfeit miracle signs and wonders. To the human eye, it'll just look like there's no way you'll be able to figure out what he was able to do. It says, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. Can you catch that? Now, there are many who call themselves Christians, but are still part of this group. That's what this is so important for. When it says deceives those who are perishing, because you have those, remember he says, not everyone that says me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. A big part of Christianity is for our protection. When I'm living in Christianity, that means I'm living in the word and I'm living soundly in sound doctrine. I'm getting rid of self in order that I may not be deceived. Now, in this time of peace in our lives or whatever we call it, we tend to relax. We tend not to be as diligent as we're supposed to. And unfortunately, you're going to have a lot of people that aren't walking in that and will be deceived. It's very easy. It says they perish, watch this, because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Remember loving the truth, and as the Bible shows it, to love the truth means I'm going to do everything I can to make sure I'm getting this word. To love the truth means nothing else will get in the way of it. We tend to accept the truth when we're okay with it, when we understand it, or when we have time for it, when it's interesting to us. Do you notice that? Not, I'm pursuing it. I don't care if I like it. I just want to hear what he has to say. It goes on to verse 11, for this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie. So what he's saying here, there are some people that are thinking they're going to do everything they can right before they die, say these last words, and then they're going to heaven. That's something we kind of put in our heads, but God knows our heart. And that's where we can truly use that term. And what he's showing us here, there are going to be some that are living that you've reached your point. Those who are playing games with God, that's why it says God cannot be mocked. He's actually going to make it so you can't believe. In other words, so that you will. I mean, you're going to be convinced of this lie to where it's going to be so blatant, but you're going to be far gone. That's why it says for this reason. Why? Because you refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Because there are people who are just making their mind of, nope, not going to do it. And not saying it like that, but we show it in our lives when we do not pursue God and all that he's given us. So there's going to come a time where there's going to be people that can't. They're going to only believe the lie. Verse 12, it says, and so that all will be condemned, that means go to hell, who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. Because the main reason why we don't want to follow the truth, because we want to do the stuff that's not part of truth. And especially when we find comfort in self, and this is what happens. And the main core things that gets in that way today are ignorance, our emotions, our intellect, okay, and culture. And we delve into those things, and we've allowed those things to play a major part in our lives. And when we don't let go of those, we're in danger of being part of this group. So please be careful of that. Now, tribulation will be so bad, many will leave the faith. This is why building our faith is so necessary. It says in Matthew 24, 9 through 14, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. Now, this is a key right here, because you get some people that are doing some ridiculous things in the name of Jesus, which have nothing to do with Jesus. And then when people don't like them, they go, see, he said we'll be hated because of him. This is where ignorant Christians, or those who call themselves Christians who are acting in ignorance, will follow this and go, oh, that must be true. The key is because of me. Make sure anybody that calls themselves Christians are actually following Christ. They'll love. They'll be fair. They'll do things that the Bible shows. They're not going to love the world. There's going to be some of the things, traits that you're hearing these people use. So when other nations or people hate them, they're just hated. That's just one group. He's saying the true Christians will be hated because of him. You understand that? And that's when a Christian can really check himself and say, oh, I'm doing everything Christ told me to, but the world just doesn't like my way. It goes on to say, at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, because self plays a big part. And then he says, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. You see this? This is why our faith has to be strong. That's why in verse 12, it says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. You get this? So it's not just having faith and then you're set. It's the faith to keep me set. So I need the faith so I can stand firm, because some things are going to happen. And in many cases, some are going to die. But even in death, we're protected. Christians know that. Non-Christians think when they say I'm going to be protected, they think they're going to get no harm. Everything's going to be comfortable. I'm going to get what I desire. I get what I want. It's not what the Bible teaches. But more and more, you have people that are delving into that and they're being misled. Verse 14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So he's showing this also, that everybody will have that opportunity. Everybody will hear the word. Everybody will understand what they need to do. God will allow that opportunity, and it's going to be a choosing or not. Now, I know by sight, we may go, I can't see that happening. I know a lot of people don't know the Lord. That's me telling God I don't believe in him. So this is why we walk by faith. This is what he said. We accept it, and we move on. And we keep doing what he tells us to do. Now, continuing on with the man of sin, another name for the man of sin is the beast. Okay, and in the New Testament, one of the first times we hear that term used is in Revelation 11. And the beast is who we hear comes and kills the two witnesses in Revelations. Now, those who don't know it, We haven't gotten to Revelations yet, but in Revelations, the two people say it's going to be Elijah and it's going to be Moses, and they're going to come back. And of course, if you remember those, they're going to preach and they're going to do some miracles and a lot of this stuff. But people are going to hate them. They're going to die at first, and they're going to let them lay out in the street, and then they're going to rise again, and then they're going to go up to heaven. But the key of it is when they die, when they're killed to lie out in the street, the beast is what the one that does it, as it says in Revelations 11:7. Now, when they have finished their testimony, the beast comes up from the abyss. Okay, so the beast comes from the abyss. So this man comes. So some say it's implied that the power of Satan comes to this man. Some say, nope, this actual man comes from the abyss, will attack them and overpower and kill them. Now, once again, by sight, people will see this evil one overtaking these that are not evil. And because that person won, guess who they'll say is the better person? Out of ignorance. Do you understand? And these are godly people that God's allowed in a situation because he said it was going to happen this way. Okay. We're only protected when we stay in the firm word of God. Now, the power behind the man of sin is Satan, as we've seen earlier, is also known as the devil, serpent, and great dragon. That's Satan's names. We know him as the devil, serpent, great dragon. If you notice one thing I left out of here is Lucifer, because in reality, there's only one book that term is used, and be honest with you, only one translation really uses it. Okay, now King James uses it, just give you a little bit for those who do not know it. Lucifer, if you look in any other Bibles, under that same one, under Isaiah 14, I think it's Isaiah 14, where when it says, "Oh, you Lucifer," but it's called morning star. The problem with that is at one point he was an angel and he was a morning star. You understand that? That's a term of how you were one of the brightest stars at one time. That's all it was, because the term in not Latin, I think it's Latin, it's one of the two. It translates to Lucifer. That's all that means. And so people say, oh, his name used to be Lucifer when he was an angel, and then he changed it to Satan. The Bible never says anything like that. So the term Lucifer is really not a name for him. And here's the weird thing. In Revelations, that term morning star is used for Jesus. Once again, not saying Jesus is Satan, so on and so forth, and using this term. It's just saying he was a bright star. That's who Satan was when he was an angel. And he became so puffed up in his self and his own beauty that he thought he could be God. And that's what happened to him. But the term Lucifer is really not one of the names of Satan. So just give you a little history back there. But it says in Revelations 12, 7 through 13. I mean, actually, I'm sorry. Revelations 12, 7 through 13, 1. It says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven." You have different groups that say this has not happened until this time. Some say this already happened in the past. Some say this happened when Satan got kicked out. Some people say this is happening later. Just doesn't give a time. No need in getting caught up. But when it happened, we just know it happens. Okay. And this is the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. You notice what it says here, who leads the whole world astray. Why do you think he tells us not to love the world or anything in the world? And unfortunately, more and more Christians are being embedded in the world. Christians are becoming part of the world, which, if they are, they're going to be led by Satan, which is why you see a lot of worldly influences in churches, which it should not be. It says, "He was hurled to earth and his angels with him." That's that third of angels with him. "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, 'Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down.'" Some have used this verse right here, the accuser of our brothers, because you go back into Job, when he goes there, he never, and he was the one that was trying to use things against Job. You know, I mean, if you remove that hedge away from him, or if you harm him, or if you take this away, then he will curse you to your face. So people are saying, so this had to happen after that. You understand that? They're saying, or if it happened after Job, it might have happened a certain time, and he's not talking to God anymore. And people get too deep in it, but this is where that term comes from, where some people will say when it happened, because they're saying he's been hurled down, so he can't accuse anymore, so he's just down here. Okay? Interesting, but we're not sure. Verse 11 says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Very important. The only way we overcome Satan is by Christ. This is why we need to become weak in order to become strengthened in Christ. This is why when we do foolish things or say things like, I told him this, and we start blaspheming or saying things that we don't understand, we get beat up because we're not realizing we're fighting against something the wrong way. It says we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, by Christ, and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Now, that's a key. One thing in our time now is we have allowed life, and we see it right now. I know we may act like we don't. You know, people say, I'm not afraid to die. Problem is, it's not just are you afraid to die? It's how are you living? Okay, and that's so in the many cases, if my life is missing or having certain things, you can see how it affects me. And that answers also, if that makes sense. In other words, our life or our love of life influences us more than we like to think. And I think that's all of us in today's world. This is what makes it such a terrible time, because what the world seems to offer, we think we're missing out on. We think we need to overindulge, and we tend to do it, even as we call ourselves Christians. And this is why depression kicks in so much. And in this case, death is going to be something that's going to terrify us, even though we say we're not scared of death. But we're not just talking about the death of dying and going to heaven. We're talking about death in life of, you know what I mean, of me dying and allowing Christ that I've missed out everything. I count myself dead and all of that. But it's saying they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. These are the people that were protected from Satan. It says, therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. So that's why people are saying when that time comes, it hasn't happened yet. He says he is filled with fury because he knows what his time that his time is short. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to a male child. So, and we accept that as being Israel, the woman, and the male child, Christ. It says the woman was given the two wings of a great eagle. Okay, and it's saying, so something is supposed to happen in which the eagle is going to take Israel, so Israel will not get attacked. Now, you have some places that said, oh, it's going to be America. So America's going to come because, you know, we have eagles and we're the ones that's going to protect them. Some people say, nope, it's just going to be something else supernatural that's going to come and it's going to protect and it's going to keep Satan from being able to attack Israel. We don't know what it is. We just know it's going to be given two wings of a great eagle. It goes on to say, so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert, where she would be taken care of for a time, times and a half a time, which means 3.5 years. Okay, it goes on, out of the serpent's reach. So wherever this place is, Satan can't reach there. Okay, and it says, then from his mouth, the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. The dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring. Who are the rest of her offspring? Who are the ones that are really the offspring of Israel or God's people? Those who obey God's commandments. Now, if I stop there, Seventh Day Adventists say, yep, see, that's it. But you got to keep going and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Okay? And we understand Seventh Day Adventists who still kind of lean towards following the Ten Commandments, but we know what Jesus is in Colossians 2 and Hebrews 4 and all of that. God's commandments are what he says in the New Testament. So just to let you understand that. So it's those of us who are following Christ. That's who's doing it. Because remember, in many cases, he told the people that were still following the law, if you're still following the law, you really haven't accepted grace. You can't do both because the law is me doing it. Grace is me following him. And the evidence will be shown. So in other words, you'll see essence or elements of me doing the righteous things of the law, but not me being under the law. That's why the Sabbath is spiritual. We see it. Every one of those Ten Commandments are spiritual way of us doing it, but not us doing it in the physical way that you still see some trying to do it today. All right. Any questions? All right. So now, the man of sin is the first beast in Revelation. Okay, so we just talked about the devil. We did all this about the devil and why he was so angry and all of this. So this is who he's going to empower. And remember, they call this is why they call it the unholy trinity, because it's Satan, who thinks he's treating himself as God, is going to get this beast who's supposed to be in his self the Christ, his Christ. That's going to be the beast or the man of sin. And then the beast second in charge, which they call the false prophet, is supposed to be his Holy Spirit, supposedly. And that's why they call it the unholy trinity, in a sense. Either which way, there are these three parts and they do exist. So the man of sin is the first beast in Revelation. So now here's a note I need you to understand. In Daniel, emphasis was placed on the kingdoms and referenced the king, while in Revelations, emphasizes the king and references the kingdom. Now, why am I saying that? Because in the Old Testament, you'll hear more of their kingdoms. Okay. And this, you're going to hear more of the king of that kingdom. But it's the same way as when you hear of Hitler, you immediately think of Nazi Germany. And when you think of Nazi Germany, you immediately think of Hitler. So one put more when they were talking about Nazi Germany. That's what Daniel would do. And Revelation is talking more of Hitler. But in both cases, we know they go hand in hand. So you hear them explain them similar, but you'll hear this one more on the man himself. Revelation 13, 1 to 10 says, "And the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. Then I saw a beast," here he is, "coming out of the sea." Now, this out of the sea supposedly means he's a Gentile. Okay, so it doesn't mean some monster coming out of the sea like Godzilla. What it's talking about is where he's coming from, and they're calling him the beast because that's the term they use for him. "Having 10 horns and 7 heads, on his horns were 10 diadems," or crowns, or things that he wears on his head. "And on his head were blasphemous names." Okay. And blasphemous names, of course, against God. So whatever these kings represented, what they put out there was against God one way or the other. "And the beast, which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like those of a bear, his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him power and his throne and great authority." Now these terms right now are not talking about those countries, but it's talking about powers of those countries. You understand? Okay. That's why I say, when I saw these beasts, I saw was like a leopard, his feet. So his whole entire body, he was, think of this big giant leopard, but his feet were like those of a bear. And people say, of course, some of those terrifying part of a bear is his feet, but whatever that the beast that the bear represented, that's going to be his most terrifying part. And the mouth was like a lion. Of course, you know, his jaws and everything of a lion, they're putting that on there. So even though he was a leopard, his mouth was more of a lion, not of a leopard. And they're saying his power came from the throne. Now, people say this was Rome. And if people lived during that time, they would have said, this is Rome. You know what I mean? And but either which way, this still country still to come. So some say it's going to be a revival of Rome. It's going to be something, because in the way we keep reading about the king died and then came back to life kind of hints that Rome is going to play a part in this. And that's why people are saying it's going to be a big part of Europe that's going to play a part in this. But either which way, it says, "I saw one of the heads as if it had been slain." This is what we're talking about. And it says his fatal wound was healed. If you notice, fatal wound, but it says healed. Because I mean, if it's fatal, that means he died from it. So somehow one of the heads, which is the king, you know, that's ruling this, somehow died, but he came back to life. It's almost like one of the worst kings of that time was Nero, as if we're going to see Nero again. You understand? I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but they're saying it's going to be something supernatural, because when the whole world sees it, they're going to understand it. And that's why it says the whole world was amazed and followed after the beast. So this is going to be one of the things they're going to see. They're going to see the supernatural resurrection or rising of whatever happens, that they're going to know a history of it, of this king. So something's going to happen major to this king, or have had happen to this king. And then you're going to see him rise again to power. And it's going to be so amazing, especially those that don't have Christ, or those who just say they have Christ, are going to go, "Man, this man is so powerful. Isn't he great?" Okay, which is not hard to do. You see people getting deceived today by some of the littlest things. It says in verse 4, "They worship the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast." Do you understand that? So they end up worshiping Satan because of how powerful the beast was. You see how far gone they are. And they worship the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? and who is able to wage war with him. Now, this is why I say, in no way am I saying take lightly these people who walk around saying they're Satan worshipers, but they're, you know, those are a bunch of mistakes and meaningless and games compared to what real devil worshipers are going to be, because people are going to miss it, because real devil worshipers are going to come in forms that are attractive to humans that don't have Christ. It says there was given him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies, and authority to act for 42 months was given to him. Now, do you see this right here? Where it says authority, only God has the ability to give authority. So it's basically saying God is going to allow. He's going to say, yep, go ahead and do it. And he's going to be allowed to say these things and get away with it. And he's going to be able to do it, like I said, for 42 months. You understand that? And it was given to him, and he was allowed to do it. So Satan was allowed to run him, and this guy's going to be successful. And if we're not walking by Christ, you're going to see this successful, powerful man. And he's going to do something. And we're going to watch what he does and why people really, really follow him. This is in verse 6. And he opened his mouth and blasphemies against God to blaspheme his name in his tabernacle. God gave him the ability to do this. You understand that? It says that that is those who dwell in heaven. It was also given him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Not just make war with them, but to the ones that are here are going to win. Now, this is one of the reasons when it says to overcome them, that means you're going to have some in prison, some tortured, some killed. These are Christians. Now, this is why Christians who love the group of the pre-trib, because this is tribulation going on here. And they're saying, oh, we're part of the pre-trib, so we're already going to be raptured up and we won't have to go through this. Because there's one verse that says no harm will come to you. This is why so many Christians, when you take the seven churches, say we're part of the Church of Philadelphia, because it says they're going to be protected, not the Church of Smyrna, which is going to be jailed and some are even going to die. Do you understand that? And so we're doing it more out of desire than fully saying is this is what's going to happen, because it's showing there are still saints down here. So are these people that got saved after the fact? Or are there going to be Christians? Did the rapture really happen then? When is it going to happen? So this is something to keep in mind. But he goes on and says it was also given him to make war with the saints and overcome them. And then it says authority over every tribe. That's going to be talking about races and people. Okay. That's around the world, and tongue and nation was given to him. Authority over all of them. Now, this is where we get the global government. Now, some say it's going to be a global government. Some say he's just going to have so much power, he's going to be able to rule, even though these are going to be separate great places around the world. So some say it's going to be one nation, one king, and everybody's going to be under him. So I'm just going to mean, nope, all the other places. Like right now, America has that, or had for a big part, where a lot of people followed the leader, and America had that kind of power. Now, it didn't mean America ran everything. It just America was the most powerful, and everybody looked to America to be that. So this is that influence is more of what this is. He's going to have it over every race. He's going to have it over every place. And he's going to, so no matter what, it's not going to be just one person that grabs a group of people. It's going to be somebody that's going to influence everyone. And it says, all who dwell on earth will worship him. Okay, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life. In other words, whoever is not saved will worship him. It's going to be an either or, no middle ground. It's in the book of Lamb who has been slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He's basically saying, pay close attention to this. Our salvation, the way we live in Christ, is the thing that tells us that we are Christians, and it's the thing that protects us. It goes on to say, if anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. If anyone kills, anyone kills with the sword he must be killed. Here is the perseverance of the faith of saints. Basically saying there's things that are going to happen. If you're going to run, they're going to run. If you're going to get killed, you're going to get killed. The main thing you got to stand firm in is in the faith. Don't look at the times. Don't let the things that happen influence you. Don't get misled by the things that are happening out there. Okay, so this is very important for us to recognize all of this, because it's going to be, now this is a terrible time because of us getting caught up in ourselves, you get more and more being pulled away from the faith. And this is a terrible time in the flesh, of course, when a person who's not in the faith, who claims they are in the faith, is going to be really a huge product of this. And this is why God allows us to go through tests and certain things we go through right now, these basic tests we go through so we can overcome this major thing. Now, then there's the second beast, and he will be the first beast, second in charge, also known as the false prophet. Now, supposedly, something happens to the first beast. That's why we see earlier it gets slain, fatal wound, and all that. But watch what happens. This is in Revelations 13, 11 through 18. It says, then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. Now, you remember the first one came out of the sea. And some say that earth supposedly means out of Israel. I keep saying supposedly because you have to use certain references out of the Bible. I can't say this is definite. So don't write that down as a definite thing. This is just what most are saying. And it kind of leans on some scripture on there. So I'm just kind of putting that out there. But one, they do imply something, but and most scripture kind of lean more toward the one when it says when it talks about out of earth, it's talking about that local area because it's referring to Israel. And when it talks about out of the sea, it's talking about other nations and things of that sort. And there's another part where we're gonna see out of the sea where it talks about multiple people. But either which way, it says he had two horns like a lamb. Anytime you hear like a lamb, it's he's gonna be Christ-like, but he spoke like a dragon, but he's not Christ. You understand this? So some lean upon this false prophet, and he's called a prophet. He's going to be a religious man. And once again, people who use the word pious and use ignorance in looking at a Christian. Going back to, like I said before, you had some people that you'll see somebody who dresses a certain way, and we call them Christian because of how they dress. Go through the Bible and show me where it says that dress calls them a Christian. But you'll have some that'll give that person more respect than somebody on how they speak, on how they act. One, because if I'm not in my word, I don't know if they're acting like a Christian. I have my definition of it. This is why this is so important, because you're going to have some that are going to be torn by him because he's going to look the part, but he's not going to be the part. That's why we walk by faith. That's why we test spirits. It says in verse 12, he exercises all the authority of the first beast on his behalf. So not only will he do a lot of the miracles, he's going to make sure he gives credit to the first beast. You understand this? All of it's going to be, it's because of this first beast, why I'm so powerful and all this that I'm about to do for you is all because of him. And it goes on and says, and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast. You get this? So now his job is to make the world and people somehow worship this beast, because somehow they're going to see this guy as being wonderful. It says, whose fatal wound has been healed. Y'all see this? So the beast, the first beast, fatal, which then he died, somehow came back to life. And everybody's going to see it. And that first beast is going to see, y'all see this? Isn't this a miracle? And it's going to look like a clear miracle. And there's no way to explain it. There's going to be absolutely no way to explain it. Other than if you're a Christian who's in the word, you're already going to know, no, that's not right. But once again, Christians are getting pulled in by wrong information that's not in the Bible. If you're not in your word and you read some of these books that are out here, you're going to be misled. This is going to be so convincing to you, you're going to follow this person. That's the problem. It goes on to verse 13, and he performed great and miraculous signs. All right, so they're going to be powerful. They're going to be thinking that, I mean, they're going to put people in awe, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. Now, even people who may have read certain stories in the Bible, we all remember when Elijah did that. So we understand, you know, that happened immediately. Oh, that must be a man of God. You're going to see some powerful things that you know, man, this has to be from God, if you're not in the word and being misled. This is because of the signs he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast. Watch this. He deceived the inhabitants of the earth. See what the signs are going to do for those who are walking by sight. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast. So it's going to be a statue, or it can be some robot, or it can be whatever it is. This is who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. Once again, fatal wound, still lived. He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast. That's why we think it was a statue. And now this statue is supposedly going to come to life. It says, so that it could speak and cause all who refuse to worship the image to be killed. So now this statue is going to have this power to realize those who are not praising him to be killed. Seems like something on television. Seems like some fantasy thing, but this is what's going to happen. It goes on, he also forced. Now there's a key here word, and the reason why I have that in bold, of force, we'll talk about that. Everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that, this is how the force happens, no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark. Y'all catch that? Once again, you go back to Seventh Day Adventist, they're like, that mark is going to be the Sabbath day. That means they're going to say, if you don't work on the Sabbath day, then you can't buy anything, you can't sell anything, so on and so forth. Now, it's not really showing that, but this mark is a literal mark. You understand? That's why I'm saying they will to receive a mark. Okay? So, and some translations, you can get some of the older ones, some of them say in, you know what I mean? To receive a mark in his right hand. And in his forehead. Some say, oh, see, that's a big deal. That's why you don't get the chips and put all that other stuff in. It says so that no one can buy. Whatever it is, this thing's going to stop you from doing what you need to do to make a living. Now, why is should that not be a problem for us? I'll explain that before we stop on this. First of all, it says, this calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. His number is 666. Once again, we've used this number and it's come up to multiple people, starting off with Nero, and then it went to Reagan, it went to the Pope. They tried it with Obama, but they had to switch his name around. Clinton was in there. I think they did it with Trump, and it worked. All this stuff, which they, and they did it with so many people. Half of them are dead now, but all these people that were saying that fit 666, so it's just not fitting in. But he says it calls for wisdom. So there's a lot more in this. You understand that? And before you get caught up in this and calling somebody the man of sin or whatever, don't get caught up in this. People have written many books, and most of those books should be thrown in the fire because they've been so wrong. All right. But now here's the key. When it says so that no one can buy or sell unless he had the mark, remember what this said in Matthew 6:31, where it says, 31:33, it says, so don't worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. So now, one of the most noble things you can do in the world, and even with a Christian, is make a living, right? But if I do it the way the world does, I'm setting myself up, is what he's saying. So if my dependence is on my job, if my dependence is on my talent, my dependence is on my finances, keyword being dependence, I'm setting myself up. Now, I still got to have a job based on what God says. That's part of his kingdom. Of course, it's going to have money based on what the word says. You understand? I'm going to have savings and stuff based on what the word says, but I have to do it based on what the word says. That's why he says, don't run after these things. Don't do it based on these things. He says, or your heavenly father knows you need them. It says, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Christians, true Christians, will be protected during that time. You'll have billionaires that are going to be in trouble because they're part of the rich. So the poor is already going to be in trouble, but so is the rich. Because unless they get this mark, and if you get this mark, eternally condemned. So let you know that. We're going to see that a little later. But the key of it is you're going to get this mark, you're in trouble. But the ones who, it's not mattering anyway, because who is their provider? You understand? They got to know what this means. This has a much stronger, you know, like I said, we read this in passing sometimes, not realizing the emphasis on it. And some of us are still living for what shall we eat, what shall we drink, and what shall we wear? And we're not living for seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Christians will know this. This won't affect them. He'll take away stuff. And now you can notice it today. How many of us allow the market to make us panic, our jobs to make us panic? We watch our income. We watch our bank account. And how do we deal with it? You know, we're going over the poor in our service. And we're talking about how we're supposed to treat the poor. That's a major part of somebody seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness. How we're dealing with our money, or how we're allowing our money to deal with us. This is a big thing of protection or not. Any questions on the study first?
So you're basically saying that for a Christian to get the number is showing that they're not relying on God. That's what it's mainly about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The biggest key is going to be loyalty. Think of it that way. all these other things people are using when they're like, because remember, if y'all ever go back in history and look at it, when the Social Security card really came out, they called that the mark of the beast. When credit cards came out, they called that the mark of the beast. They throughout history, they kept calling things the mark of the beast. You understand that? And none of it ended up being the mark of the beast because everybody's so scared of the mark instead of recognizing what he's telling us can happen without these things. You get where I'm coming from? And this is why he's saying it calls for wisdom. Because in the big sense of it, it's going to be a loyalty. And the biggest loyalty is worshiping this beast. And worshiping this beast is doing things the way the world does. When I'm in God, he's not going to affect me. If I'm in God, if I'm not in God, oh, he'll affect me because I'll see him affect my money. He'll affect my work. He'll affect my lifestyle. He'll affect anything that's of what I'm doing down here. You get where I'm coming from, to where I have to go, but I have to make a living. But I have to do this, but I need to save my money. And this is where he'll get people. Other questions? Go ahead.
So when you're saying about we have to make the money, because we know that's in scripture too, that still falls back on relying on God to provide that too, how you make your living. Okay.
Exactly. Exactly. Because in my job, if I make money, but the minute I get a promotion and I start doing things outside of God because of the position I'm in or doing things, and we get this test all the time. You know, I mean, you can work at a job and do everything that you're supposed to in the Lord. You see it with politicians. I think many politicians really sincerely go into politics thinking they're going to make a difference. And then when they realize, hey, if I'm going to keep this job that I'm set for life, I'm going to have to be a little crooked. And that's where you see them change. The ones that end up staying in there, that they know it. They're not stupid. They know to get into a very corrupt system in order for them to function, they're going to have to be corrupt. Even the ones that come off as being so wholesome, I hate to say it, they're in a corrupt system. They have to do some corruption in order for it to work. They have to do some lying. And when we sell ourselves that way, we're showing God, well, God, I don't rely on you. I rely on this money I'm making. Same thing when we do with the IRS, same things we do, you know, certain things when we deceptively do stuff thinking this is what's protecting us instead of realizing it's Christ. Any other questions on the study?
I have one more.
Okay.
You know, back in the lesson when it's saying about the gospel will be put out to all the nations?
Yes.
So what is the difference from the gospel being out now and at that time?
So he's saying by that time, that line is referencing by that time. Because if you notice what it said in that line, it says, let me go to it again. It's basically saying at that time is the time now when everybody has gotten that chance. Everybody, it has reached everybody. Now. So we're in the time where that process is still happening. And it could happen tomorrow. It could happen whenever. But it's the fact of it is when everybody has reached and it has reached everybody and has got to everybody that's needed to where it's like, okay, everybody had their opportunity. Everybody heard it to where they needed it to make the right choice and for them to choose or not. And that's what it's saying. It's not saying that's when it's going to happen at that time. It's saying that's when it's finally going to be done. When everybody has gotten it and it's reached that point. So now it's time for the end. Make sense?
Thank you.
Yep. One thing, this study itself is a little complicated. There's a lot of stuff going on. I expect you to read it, to kind of go through it. It's very easy for us to take certain ones that are difficult and just go, you know what? I'm just going to let this one pass and not go into. Please don't do that in God's word. Okay. When God, there are certain things that God may give us and very straightforward. Some things we really have to work for. And this is what he means, those who earnestly seek him. So it's going to take us some time to really get it, for us to grasp it. But it's those who keep persevering to understand and grow into God, not upon their own understanding, but upon what he gives us. So please be careful because I know this is complex. You know what I mean? And what some books have done is they really watered it down. They simplified it, but they distorted it to simplify it. Because if you notice, you can't really 100% simplify this. You know what I mean? You can do the best you can, but there's still those holes in there. There's still things that are kind of what exactly is it saying? And God, that's what God put in there. And we just take it as it is until he reveals the truth to us. So be careful when you get these people that say, oh, this is just that. Oh, just ignore that. Oh, this just didn't happen. Or they totally ignore it. So we don't want to get caught in that. So I encourage you, read it again. Questions are going to come up. Some will be able to answer. Some will go, we're not sure. That's just what it says. Amen. All right. If we don't have any other questions. We will close in prayer. All right. Let us pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, once again, thank you, dear God, for this opportunity. Thank you for your word. And help us, dear Lord, not to allow ourselves to allow our understanding to get us mixed up, dear Lord, but for us to take what you've given us, receive it, accept it. The things that we may not be clear to us, let us find clarity in you, dear Lord. Let us know the protection is you. Let us stay firm in your word by walking by faith. Let us not be distracted by the things going on in the world. Let us not lean upon what the world calls protection. And as we understand, friendship with the world will distort every part of what we do. So we're looking for your insight, for your wisdom in all that we do, that we can make sure that we're walking your ways at all times. Continual blessings on those who are healing, on the families, on just people who are going through life and they're struggling. Help us to make sure we're ministering and encouraging in the right way, dear Lord. Help us to do things we need to because we know the time is short. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We all say,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Love y'all.
Amen.